Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Brian, and Jan is still on leave. She will hopefully be back soon. We all want to wish her well, say some prayers for her. She's having some issues, but I've talked to her, and she's in great spirits. But anyways, we're here to talk about business, life, and transitions. And today's topic is kind of around a subject that I think hits a lot of boomers, especially. And that is, we're not going to be talking about, you know, searching for jobs and those kind of things, but kind of different kind of life issues. And one of the things that my friends recently went through is their elderly parents were staying in their home, and, you know, they really couldn't handle it anymore. And it's such a hard place to be where you don't have time to take care of your parents. I mean, it's kind of like the reversal of when we were babies and they were changing our diapers. It's kind of hard. It's a little different. You know, when you've got full-time jobs and stuff like that and you're dealing with adults, it just is, it's crazy. And but it's a very hard and deep subject that you have to work through is what to do. And unfortunately, both my parents have passed, but I mean, I was a caregiver for a while. I actually flew out to Las Vegas to care of my dad for a while. So I understand the concept, but it's very difficult. I mean, I had to leave my business, my home, and go take care of that. And some of my friends actually live in different states and got to take care of their parents. And there's a lot that goes into that. So, you know, the thought process is, you know, it's not something you necessarily plan for, but it's something that you have to deal with. I mean, not only dealing with your own kids, but your parents at the same time can really be a challenge. So, you know, what I wanted to do today was kind of talk through some of those things with somebody who's kind of really, I would say, more of an expert on this subject. It can kind of give us a little bit of perspective. And her name is Lisa Stover, and Lisa's a real estate agent with Finishing Touch and has a lot of experience in this area. So how are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for asking. So anyways, let's get a little bit of your backstory. How did you all of a sudden go from being a realtor, because I'm assuming you've been doing this for a number of years, into this niche of working with seniors? How did that come about?
Well, it started with my own mother, Brian, and needing to make some moves with her. She was long distance at first. Moved in with us for a number of years, but cognitive impairment, which appears at this point to be Alzheimer's, set in, and we needed to make some changes. So doing that transition as a daughter is very different than doing it as a professional. And I realized that this is really hard being the daughter of someone going through this. I did that work with her and realized as a realtor and knowing what I know and what it takes to get someone moved that I could probably help others navigate the process when I wasn't quite so closely involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how it started.
Got it. So, and there's a lot involved with this. I mean, it isn't just, you know, I mean, bottom line is you're selling a house. That's part of it. But then it's also getting them relocated. And a lot of times the house, you know, hasn't been taken care of the way it should have because they're elderly. They can't get out there and climb ladders and do all that other stuff. So what kind of things are involved in that? What do you see on a regular basis? What has, you know, from our standpoint as a kids, what should we be thinking about? Let's start with the, you know, the actual physical side of things, but then what should the kids be thinking about?
Wow. Well, there are so many things, you're right. And mm-hmm. I think it does begin with where is family at this time? Are the parents or parents incapacitated? Is it a situation where they just cannot live in their home for whatever reason? Are the children close? Are they close physically? Are they close mentally and emotionally? So I see everything from a senior who is really isolated and very alone because there's no one around in their lives, or I also see where there are several siblings, offspring, living very close and nobody really knows what to do. So most of the time, family members are very busy with their own lives and nobody knows what to do. They want to move mom and dad. Everybody realizes that a move needs to take place relatively soon, but where to begin is usually the problem. So when I come in, I can sit down with that senior or the family or both and just hear what their needs are, how they're feeling, what they're going through, and ascertain what I would see as a series of events or how we should go about this. Once I present that to them, then they make the decision. It's really all about their comfort level and them making a decision that feels right and good to them about how we go about this.
So when you now all of a sudden you've gotten the kids aligned, because that I think that's part of the challenge too is you know, when you're dealing with an asset, a family asset at this point, you know, what kind of challenges do you see with like brothers and sisters and siblings and things like that?
Well, it's all over the board. I can't say that people by and large are good and they love their parents and they really just want to see their parents doing well. So most of the time that's what I'm dealing with, and nobody really cares about that quote unquote asset. It's an asset to pay for that next step. And that's most of the time what I'm dealing with is people just want to get that, get mom and dad safely to a location, whether it be, you know, downsizing into a little condo or something much smaller without stairs, all the way into assisted living, maybe memory care, depending on the situation, and get that house closed down, get the contents out of it, whether that be by estate sale or just removing the contents, get the house fixed up so that we can get the most amount of money for it, and then just sell it. Be done with it so nobody's paying taxes and utilities and having a home that's vacant just sitting there. So most of the time people are on board with the let's do this quickly idea. And I recommend that because anything can happen when a home is vacant.
Sure.
And does. And you really just don't want it sitting there. There's really no need to continue to pay for two places.
Right. So then what, you know, what kind of services, so obviously there's a lot that goes into this because, you know, as the kids, I mean, you don't got time to go in and do all the fix-up, do the organization, do the sale, there's just a ton of stuff logistically that has to happen.
Right.
Even, you know, being the person that finds parents their new home, whether it is a condo or assisted living in one way, shape, or form. So how do you bundle all those services together? I mean, how does that work for somebody? Because that's one of the things that when I talked to you really made a difference. It's like, oh, my goodness, you not only handle the real estate portion, but you handle everything. And that, I think, is pretty
unique. Right. It is unique, and I'm excited about it because it really brings it offers families, seniors, a lot of opportunity to just rest at ease knowing that everything is taken care of. So when we come in, the finishing touch can handle everything from helping the parent, the senior, find the next place to live, packing them, getting them organized, packed, moved into their new home or community, settling them in, unpacking everything, getting rid of all those boxes, making sure that things are the way that they want it. Then we'll go back to the home. We'll deal with the contents of the home. A lot of times this takes a little bit longer because family members want a little bit of a chance to go through things, see what they want, determine if there's valuables, if we need to bring in an estate sale or maybe just an online auction. There's so many different ways that we handle the contents of the home, and it really just depends on what's there and how the family feels. But ultimately the goal is to get that home emptied. A lot of times it's not in great repair because nobody's been tending to it. So we have leaks and old carpeting, peeling wallpaper. We can do whatever it takes to make that home look bright and shiny. It's not usually about staging. It's normally about emptying and getting mm-hmm. rid of what's old, old drapes, old carpeting, and just giving it that fresh look so that the buyers that come in can see themselves living in this home. A lot of times we can spend somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000, and that will allow us to get an additional probably $30,000 or $50,000 out of the home. It really can be
wow.
pretty dramatic. Yeah, and then we sell it. And most of the time it's going to sell a lot quicker because it is clean and fresh, because it is ready to go. You know, sometimes, and I will say this is not the norm, someone will tell me that they want to just sell as is. Mm-hmm. And depending on, you know, where we can price the home, then, you know, we can get rid of it. But it's not for every buyer. We really want to create appeal with this home, and freshening it up makes the difference. So, yeah, the Finishing Touch offers all those services, all or some of those services. We really tailor what we do to the client's needs and wants, not just come in and automatically do everything. It just depends on what they need and working on their timeline as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what kind of advice can you give you know, kids of parents that are at that time? I mean, what kind of conversations do you have with them to kind of help them get their parents aligned with this thing? Because a lot of times the parents are like, no, I'm fine. I want to stay here in my home. This is my home. I built it, blah, blah, blah. So how do you work with the kids to get them to understand? And when I say kids, I mean, we're talking 50, 60-year-olds. But
right.
How do you work with them to help them get their parents aligned? Because I'm assuming a lot of times that it's either the parents or the kids that are contacting you because of the situation.
Right. Well, obviously, if it is the parent, then they've realized they're ready. And I find that that happens a lot with my single male clients who have lost a wife of many years. They are very ready to get out. They are lonely. They want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Women, on the other hand, will stay in their home indefinitely. They don't want to leave those memories behind. If adult children are involved in having trouble bringing mom, dad, parents around, I often suggest going to the parent's doctor. And if hopefully they have their POA in place. That's the first thing I recommend. If that's not in place, they need that. Somebody needs to have the power of attorney for medical in place, because you never know when mom or dad is going to be incapacitated, and you have to be able to be that voice for them. Doctors really, really will help. They really will. And a lot of times parents don't want to listen to their kids. They may listen to me, and it may take a little while. We may need to warm them up. Sometimes they're just not ready. And I will recommend bringing in-home care. I work with so many great in-home care providers, whether they be just companionship, doing light work around the house, or medical. Sometimes we want to get them in there just to make everybody feel a little safer for a few months while mom or dad warms up to the idea of making a move. But we try to approach it whichever way seems best. And I advise them to, you know, lean on me, lean on your doctor, lean on some family friends that might have a little more influence with mom or dad. And then we talk finances. You know, how much money is there? What's left? Once we sell the house, what do I think the home will be worth? What are in assets? Because senior housing with services is pretty expensive. So if mom or dad don't have long-term care insurance, you can bet that this is going to run anywhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. It's
wow.
very, very expensive, depending on their needs. So we take the assets and divide by 12, and that's going to give me the number of years. So they need to really have their head wrapped around that. I mean, there are other things available to them as money starts to get low, but we want to know, you know, what kind of a place should we be looking at for them based on how many years they can afford to live there. So There's a lot of factors, and people don't know this, and they haven't really thought about it. You know, nobody really, we're living longer. And like you said, the boomers are in their 50s and 60s, and we're looking at our 80-plus-year-old parents saying, oh, my gosh, you know, she's still really doing well. She could be around for another 15 years. So
right.
That's a long time at $6,000 to $8,000 a month, right? So
yes.
In any event, that is where it begins and how I usually approach families and even seniors. When I get the call from a senior who says, I don't know if I can afford this. So we do the math, and I have great partners who specialize in really helping seniors find a place. So I'll be involved in that part, but I usually leave each aspect of what I do to a professional. I have professional partners that work with me throughout this entire process. And, I call in the experts, so to speak, as we embark on each level. I'm intimately involved with my clients, and they know that I am the final word. Anything that they need, they call me. They don't have to try to find out who's doing the estate sale or who's handling the painting or the repairs, or along the way, I am always the one that they can call. I am always the one that will answer for whatever's going on that the finishing touch is involved with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're kind of like a general contractor, project manager to help bring all of these pieces together, which is kind of
mm-hmm.
cool. I mean, that's very unique because, I mean, imagine if you had to, you know, if you are in that situation, I mean, half the time the people don't even know what to think about, nonetheless where to get the people to do it. And, I mean, even if mom and dad are aligned and, you know, you find a realtor to sell the house, then you've got to find a general contractor. You've got to find somebody who, you know, are going to help them find whatever their next home is. You've got to find an attorney. You've got to find, I mean, there's so many different pieces to this puzzle.
You're right.
I don't think a lot of people think about all of that stuff. So what are some of the... you know, I'm sure you had a bunch of easy ones, but have you had any real challenges that have been, you know, kind of just to kind of give a case study to some people to say, hey, you know, this could may happen. What were some of the most challenging ones that you've had?
Well, I have had a few challenging ones. I've had a few situations where the kids are not involved and live far away and are going about their lives and don't really realize what's happening at home. So I've had one of my very first clients was dealing with dementia, not knowing
mm-hmm.
what was causing that dementia. The kids were out of state, far away, and they just weren't really aware of it. So I had to get involved and urge them to come home so that they could see the situation at hand. Not that that was difficult, but I was seeing something that they necessarily weren't, and that does happen occasionally, and usually once they're there and see it, they come around. I have had hoarding situations, and hoarding situations are tough because true hoarding is a disease in and of itself, and stuff becomes an attachment to that person. And I want to say that since we're talking about this at this forum, you know, where other people will definitely be listening to it, that there's nothing to be ashamed with that. It is a disease. And
mm-hmm.
but it's scary in the respect that there's a lot of dangers that surround it. So sometimes people don't want me to come in because they suspect that there's hoarding and they're embarrassed about it. But all the more reason to get your parent to, you know, or someone that you care about to move and to get the help that they need, because there probably is some dementia, something is causing some sort of a problem in there that they need help and they need
mm-hmm.
to be removed. Those are tough homes to deal with because there can be a lot of extenuating issues, not just the stuff, but the home is normally in pretty poor repair, and
mm-hmm.
dealt with that. Stuff, I've dealt with family members that don't want anything to do with the situation until we're at the 11th hour, and then they come along and decide they want to get involved. And that can be touchy because then the client who has given the reins over to me is feeling guilty and bad, and that can cause issues as well. So I say to people, you know, be involved. Be involved, make some decisions. This is your family member. This is someone you care about. Don't show up later. Don't have regrets, because ultimately it's not my place to make decisions for someone,
right,
or help them make decisions. It really is. It should be in the family's hands. I work with some great estate and trust attorneys and some legal guardians that I can always refer in. But if there is family should be the one to come alongside. As difficult as it is, I can help them navigate it. They don't have to feel like they have to come along and do everything and take a month off work. And how am I ever going to handle this? This is going to take forever. No, not really. Not with me, not with the finishing touch, because we really do stand in the gap. That's mm-hmm. one of my goals, is to come alongside and stand in that gap and be that in that place where you can't be, while still communicating with you and keeping you in the loop so that you know what's going on. It's really a unique role and an awesome opportunity for me. It's given new life to something that I've done for years, and really allows me to feel like I'm making a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and it's you know, one of the things I often talk about in business is finding your niche, you know, and finding something that not only you're passionate about, but also resonates with a whole bunch of people. Because, you know, that's the goal, obviously. If you're running a business, the more niched out you are, the more people understand your specific thing. It's much easier to communicate it than trying to do it to a broad range of people. So, and that's the one thing I really found interesting about what you do, is you have a very, a very tight niche, and you really understand, you know, a lot of the aspects. I mean, you understand it from the kid's point, you understand it from the parent's point, you understand the legal points, you understand, you know, from the home standpoint, not selling the home, but getting them into whether it's assisted living or nursing care or Alzheimer's care or all those other things. That's one of the things that I think is really important. Now, with the business itself, how do people find you? How do people, you know, I'm not saying how do they get in touch with you. We'll ask, you know, how to do that later. But where are people finding you from? What are some of the touch points that people say, you know, there's a need? How do we find somebody who does this? Can you explain that?
Well, my website, hopefully, is something that people can find, finishingtouchhomes.com. Mm-hmm. And that has all my pertinent information, contact information on it, explains my services. Every situation is different, so there's no numbers, no quotes on there. Mm-hmm. I need to sit down with you and see what it is you need me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of time in the communities in mm-hmm. the greater Chicagoland area, so a lot of the communities out there know who I am. I'm a part of several senior service organizations, so hopefully I'm getting my name out there. My mm-hmm. signs are on homes that I have on the market. So I think those are the best ways to find me if you're looking for me. Does that really answer the question, though?
No, the question I was asking, I mean, do you get referrals from, like, associations, from lawyers, from, like, the homes themselves?
Yes.
I mean, how do people, you know, what's the network that you built up? Because I was talking more about the niche. What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Yes, I do. I work with estate planners and financial advisors. I work with elder law attorneys. I work with all these communities, so those are the people who are referring me in. And
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a newer business. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, but recently have broken off on my own. So now that the company is a standalone real estate company,
mm-hmm.
hopefully more people will start to see the logo and the branding, and it's growing. I can tell you that the need is there, and
mm-hmm.
people are excited about, you know, being able to talk to someone who can help them with all these things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it's like you know, what I was looking at was just the expanded network, and that's awesome. I mean, you pretty much nailed it, because that's what I think is really, really important in business. I mean, if you're looking for a job, this is just going off on a tangent, but if you're looking for a job, it's your expanded network. A lot of times are the connectors that can get you into a certain company. What I've always talked about, you know, using LinkedIn is find an influencer in a business. I don't care if they work in HR, they could work at a different department. But what you do is you get your resume to them and get it to the top of the pile, because they'll walk it into HR if you know them well enough, and then they like you and you haven't ticked them off or something, you know.
Right.
So you find those influencers that help, you know, bring people, at least get you in a position where you can be heard. And I think it's the same thing with what you're working with. Is a lot of times, you know, if people are working with an estate attorney, or they're working with a care center or something like that, it's good to know that there are referral networks that get to a place where you can get all of those services done at the same time. So, you know, one last question I got for you is, what's the most difficult thing for the kids to work through in this situation? We got about 3 minutes, but, you know, what's the one thing that us as boomers need to think about now?
Don't wait till it's too late. You don't want your parent to fall down the stairs. I mean, that is one of the biggest concerns, because that is going to happen. Most of my seniors have stairs in their home, and their laundry's in the basement. You don't want that to happen, because then there's a crisis. Then you're not making decisions based on where would we like you to live. Now they're in the hospital. They're in an acute care situation, which is not going to last very long. We all know with healthcare today, things have changed a lot. And in the senior arena, it is ever more true. It is just out of control. So they are really kicked out pretty quickly. They don't get to stay very long. And you just don't want to be in that situation. If you fear, and you're probably right if you do, even think about this twice, that your parents need to make a move, then they do. And you need to think about it today. Talk to them about it today. Call me today. I can help you talk to them about it. We can, you know, I'm here to answer questions, not just take the job. I really, really want to position myself as an advocate and help people through this difficult time as they decide where they want to go from here. But talk about it. Just talk about it today. Don't put it off one more day. It needs to be discussed. That is really my urge, my plea to boomers out there with parents that are aging.
Great advice. So, Lisa, if people want to get a hold of you, just give us the website and your email address one more time.
The website is www.finishingtouchhomes.com. My email is lisa@finishingtouchhomes.com. And I am always here. The phone number is 630-336-1820. That is direct. There's also an 800 number. 495-1120. If you're out of the area and for some reason feel like you need to use the 800 number, it all comes into the system, and someone will get back to you very quickly. We're here to help you with your moving and relocation and transition needs for your parents.
Awesome. All right, Lisa, thank you so much for joining and talking about this tough subject today. It was you know, it's something we all need to think about and learn about. So thanks again for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right. Again, you know, tough subject, but something to think about. And want to make sure that you guys are at least, you know, aware what's there. And till next time, have yourselves an awesome day.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, Thanks for tuning in.